Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, we had a great story that was shared from our friend Alex Rich right after 4 o'clock before Sue's News with Ethan, because Sue wasn't here today. But Alex, who joins us on Wednesday afternoons, who's an IU alum, Indiana, played baseball at the University of Indiana. He literally snuck into the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis. It was a legendary story. I can't say that Tom Ackerman did the same thing. Something tells me Tom had some actual tickets. He is the KMOX sports director. He is also going to host the Jack Buck Awards tonight, but Tom's going to join us with some reflections on the CFP and on that game in particular and just all the hoopla coming up at 5:24. There's a guy coming up at the bottom of the hour. This is interesting. Mark Allen's his name. I've known Mark for a long time. We're not particularly close, but he was a film critic when I was in the Critics' Choice Awards group, which, by the way, the nominations just came out last week and the Golden Globe nominations came out today. But Mark is from Sacramento, the ABC affiliate there, and I had no idea, but I'm tooling around on Facebook last week, and there's a post that comes up on his site that says that 10 years ago, he was arrested for a DUI, and he became friends with the officer who arrested him. He turned his life around. So he really had an amazing story to share, and he's going to join that story, or join us, and share that story at 5:30. I'll also have an audio cut of the day coming up. You know, a few years ago, I think we're getting to the third anniversary. I don't think it's the fourth. I think it's the third anniversary of Jamie Reed's piece in the Free Press that really exposed all this gender-affirming care nonsense here at Washington University and Children's Hospital. Luckily, it took a little while. It took the help of a couple of attorneys general in Eric Schmidt and Andrew Bailey, but that clinic finally closed down. And we got a lot of things kind of cascading at the same time across the planet with some of this gender nonsense kind of falling, you know, the house of cards falling down. Well, now there's more. And it, you know, the one thing about all these stories, and it's amazing to me that the gender activists don't get this, that they all have very similar themes and stories. If you listen to what we're about to tell you and you think about Jamie's piece that was in the Free Press a couple of years ago about how, and I like to point this one out because it's an extreme example. There was one young man that came in who was having sex with dogs, and the decision on the part of these brilliant gender-affirming care physicians was, hey, let's not check that kid's mental health. Let's hop him up on some puberty blockers and cut his penis off or something to that extreme. Maybe they didn't cut the penis off. Maybe they just considered cutting the penis off. Lior Sapir is with us. He wrote about some things relating to all of this in the Free Press last week. It got some attention. I'd like to shine a little bit more light on it. Lior, how are you? Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
I'm doing well, Mark. It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
This is, as you know, I kind of call us a little bit of ground zero on this gender stuff because of the story that I referred to with Jamie Reed being the whistleblower. And that really did draw a lot of attention to this. But you've got some videos here that you exposed last week with some folks that work in these clinics like the one that existed here in St. Louis. And some of the things that are caught on tape are just staggering and stunning, aren't they?
They are. These are videos that were obtained through a lawsuit in Alabama where the leading organization promoting so-called gender-affirming care for both children and adults, that's the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, it was ordered in that lawsuit to turn over all internal communications and videos from conferences related to it, how it developed its medical standards. And major revelations were published last year showing smoking gun evidence of a medical scandal. But there were other videos that were held and had not been released until Wednesday of last week, which is when my story in the Free Press came out and first discussed them.
So let's talk about a couple of videos. And I know you start in your story that was in the Free Press with the story of this person named Sky, who was described as an 18-year-old recent high school graduate who was living on his own for the first time, right? What happened there?
That's right. So Sky comes into the gender clinic at the Oregon Health and Sciences University. And Oregon is one of the most aggressive states in promoting and providing gender-affirming care to minors and to adolescents. And so Sky shows up at their clinic, and Sky reports being asexual, never having had sex, and having no desire to have sex in the future. And Sky actually said that he didn't want to have any pleasurable sensation, and he hoped he could that the removal of all erogenous tissue would be possible. He said he wanted to look like, quote, a Barbie down there.
Right.
Now, normally in these situations, when you get a young man who's never had sex and wants to just, delete his genitalia, so that's a major red flag. And, in normal times, psychologists would see that and say, okay, this young man clearly needs help. But in the world of gender medicine, everything is filtered through the lens of gender. And because Sky identified as, well, we don't quite know, could be non-binary, could be a eunuch. But because of he bundled this in as a gender identity, the clinicians just affirmed him. And he had two letters from mental health people clearing the way for his complete castration.
And in the meantime, you talk about this woman, Amy Pinkin, who's a social worker with the Transgender Health Program at the Oregon Health and Science University. And she's talking about this case involving Sky. And her takeaways, or at least one of her takeaways, is, look, you have requests for procedures like this that are growing in numbers, and we can't manage this. We need to have more of these surgeries. We need more experts that can do penile-preserving vaginoplasty, or however you pronounce it, all this stuff. They actually think it's not accessible as it should be. That's one of the missions.
That's correct. So they're seeing a very sharp rise in the number of young people presenting with identities that are neither male nor female and wanting to modify their bodies accordingly. And at the time, this was this conference was held in 2021 when this video came out, or the video is from 2021. At the time, the WPATH did not have its most recent guideline that explicitly permits, in fact, recommends these types of procedures. And so one of the things that Amy Pinkin says on that video is, you know, we're getting all these requests, but these procedures are not in the guidelines. So therefore, we have to go outside of the guidelines, even though there's no recommendation, there's no formal recommendation, there's no evidence to support this stuff. It's basically whatever the patients want is what we should be providing.
Yeah, so they say their goal is to fulfill the embodiment of desires of their patients, whatever they may be, and doing this may require deviating from guidelines. That's not exactly how healthcare is supposed to work, I don't think, but that's what's happening here. They're just, as you pointed out, they're just winging it. That's the takeaway. That's frightening.
That's right. This isn't medicine. I mean, that is the central conclusion from lots of revelations that have come out in the last few years, including Jamie Reed. This whole area operates as if it's medicine. It tries to get insurance coverage. It tries to protect itself in lawsuits against age minimum laws. But one of the most interesting revelations from the videos that I watched, and this is hardly the first time that I've seen gender clinicians say this, is that when they speak to each other in private settings, when they think that the public is not listening, they say things that are very different from what they say to the general public, to regulators, even to parents. Because what they say to the public is, this is medicine. It operates just like any other area of medicine. What we're doing is mental health care. These kids are going to be depressed or even kill themselves if they don't get these interventions. But when they speak to each other, they don't say that. they don't say that they're treating a mental health condition. In fact, they explicitly deny that there's anything wrong from a mental health perspective with these adolescents and young adults. And they don't even say that they're treating gender identity. They're just saying, we're just giving kids whatever body types they want.
Right. So here's an example from your piece. There's Haley Baines, who is at a children's hospital gender clinic, and they present a composite case at this conference in 2022. She describes a boy who's 13 years old, who identifies as non-binary, she, they pronouns, whose stated goals are, I want tits and I want my parts to still work. The boys and his parent, who also identified as non-binary, were both surprised to hear that hormones could compromise his future fertility. The clinical's team role, Baines explained, was to understand how impacts on fertility and the ability to have erections fit in within the boy's goals. When the boy responded, the 13-year-old boy, by the way, responded with c'est la vie, the parent who wanted biological grandchildren started crying. And the parent was also trans, is that what, or non-binary? That's what's also interesting in cases like this,
Yeah. So again, this is one of those cases where any responsible, sane clinician looks at a situation like this and says, this boy is clearly confused. He wants to have both male and female sexual parts. He wants both parts to work. And he doesn't, he doesn't care that he's giving up his future fertility. He thinks that he is neither male nor female. Something here is deeply wrong. And instead of offering kids like this counseling to try to get them back on track, there's an entire subspecialty of medicine with institutional infrastructure at places like prestigious academic hospitals like OHSU, who offer them hormones and surgeries instead of counseling.
Yeah, it's well, and again, that's what. Every time we talk about something like this, it just further vindicates what Jamie wrote in that piece from a few years ago. It all matches up whether you go to the Tavistock Clinic in the UK or some of the other things that have been exposed with detransitioners. The narrative is pretty similar now that it's being exposed, isn't it?
It is. It is. I mean, this area of medicine has a kind of an internal logic. And when you start to understand that internal logic, nothing is surprising anymore. I hate to say it, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
The systematic dismantling of all safeguards, the fact that they let kids make their own medical decisions, and when parents are skeptical or say no, they twist their arms and threaten that their kids are going to commit suicide if they don't consent. Anything that is normally a red flag for a mental health professional is just waved away. It's really tragic, but this is what's going on, in the United States and in other Western countries. And the videos that we've obtained through the Alabama lawsuit show this pretty clearly.
All right, Lior, one more area. I'm going to have you explain this one. Can you explain the standards of care that is described as Unix with WPATH?
Right. So when most people hear eunuch, they think about a form of punishment that used to be imposed on men or the castration of young boys in order to ensure that they could have a high-pitched singing voice. WPATH has redefined eunuch to be a type of person, a gender identity. And WPATH says that young children can know that they are eunuchs from a very early age. And it has a special chapter in its latest standard of care dealing specifically with eunuchs and their desires for castration. And so one of the videos that I looked at, this specific video actually had been published before, but one of the videos that I looked at was from the relevant part of the WPATH conference where two of the authors of the eunuch chapter presented. And when they were asked, how do we get more doctors to come into this field, considering that doctors who are reluctant to perform these types of castrations may fear getting their license pulled because what they're doing is so radical. The authors of the eunuch chapter responded by saying, look, that's why we wrote this chapter in the standard of care, so that they could basically get cover from us, from WPATH, so that they wouldn't think that it's completely outside of normal medicine. So WPATH folks are admitting that they're writing recommendations in order to lure more gender doctors into the field.
What is the status of the case that this all kind of surrounds where the videos got released in discovery? That's still moving forward?
That case basically was resolved by another case which reached all the way to the Supreme Court, the Tennessee case, U.S. versus Scarmetti. was decided by the Supreme Court that basically states can constitutionally limit these interventions. So that had effects on Alabama, and so Alabama case is effectively over.
You know, you can take, we always talk about the fairness issue with sports. That's something obviously that comes to the forefront when I talk about these issues, or when other, you know, folks that have passion like Riley Gaines, I had Michelle Tafoya on last week, we talk about these things. But in this particular situation, I don't understand how anyone could read this or watch these videos or hear what people are saying and come away and say, yeah, that's what doctors should be doing. That's cool. That kind of fits the role. They went to school for 8 years to do this, to mutilate children.
I think that's right. I mean, the vast majority of Americans of whatever political persuasion, including liberals, when they actually see what's going on, when they hear gender clinicians speak, they say, no, this is wrong. This is not medicine. This should not be happening. The problem is that in policy debates and in the court of law, the folks who are gender clinicians or who defend the gender medicine field, they present different types of cases. They present, you know, the child who has been identifying as the opposite sex for many, many years. And they say things like it's extremely rare that these kids are offered interventions. There's hours and hours of mental health assessment that they have to go through. It's just not true.
No, it's not true.
But they present a very different clinical picture to the public.
Great reporting in here. I don't know if I ever want to see these videos. The RSAP here. Thank you so much for coming on. And the report obviously is in the Free Press. I'm a big fan of the FP.com. Thank you, Lior.
Thanks.
All right, take care.
Well, listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Then, as you know, we got a legendary story from our friend Alex Rich today on how he literally snuck into the Big Ten championship game. It's a crazy story. We aired it at 4 o'clock. You can use the Odyssey Rewind app. Something tells me it's going to be featured Christmas week as a best-of conversation because it was so good. Now, I have two people in my life that are huge IU guys. One is Alex. The other one is KMOX Sports Director Tom Ackerman, who's with us tonight. And I texted both of them yesterday. Had no idea that both of them were at the game, I think, separately. You didn't sneak in like Rich did you, Tommy? Did you go in legally?
No, sir. He told me the story. He texted me as I was getting ready to leave Bloomington. I stayed in Bloomington, and he said, call me when you get on the road. I have an unbelievable story to tell you, the greatest ever. And I'm like, what in the world? Because I thought Alex has told me some amazing stories through the years, so this has to
us
be
us too.
Epic.
Yeah, and he didn't and said, overhype it.
I said, "How do you get yourself in these situations?" It's just amazing.
It really
yeah, it was
is.
Great. No, I bought my ticket actually online early, and then watched the prices spike when Ohio State won to get into the Big Ten championship, and it was just an unbelievable day.
You know, there's something about this for guys like me and maybe others who are Mizzou fans, and we had some high hopes this year, but I'm tired of the Michigans and the Ohio States, and I really am bored by Big Ten football overall. But I love this Indiana story, and it was so fun to watch this, especially as I kind of told you in the text, as you know, nobody was picking Indiana. Like, they didn't even give them a chance if you listen to the so-called experts.
It's incredible because you're talking about the second-ranked team in the country. You know, the team that went to Oregon and won 30-20 and dominated the football game. The team that hasn't lost a game this year. The team that lost to Ohio State and Notre Dame last year in the playoffs. And I think that everybody still thought that that was the team. This team is way different. This team is loaded with talent. And this team was ready to go toe-to-toe with Ohio State. But even for me, I mean, it's just surreal to see them even run out of the tunnel onto the field with Indiana painted in one of the end zones and Ohio yeah. State in the other, and everyone's wearing bracelets that light up, coordinated like you're at a concert. And I'm looking around like, geez, I mean, I remember going to Memorial Stadium in Bloomington. And those are my IU memories. And then right. Here we are with this incredible atmosphere. But they played, Mark, incredibly well. They thrive off of this. I haven't looked too deep into it yet, but I looked at The Athletic. They handicapped the bracket. And not one of the writers picked Indiana to win at all. They picked Ohio State and Georgia. So, you know, here we go again. And that's exactly what IU wants.
Right.
They want you to doubt them.
Yes.
They actually
yes.
thrive off of that.
So Tom, you talked a little bit about what, you know, the expectation going in was, how they had kind of been counted out. And obviously, you're the homer, which is fair. What was your expectation? Did you, I mean, I know they were only a 4.5-point underdog, but did you, in your heart of hearts, did you think that they were going to do this, or were you as surprised as a lot of the national media was as well?
No, what I thought was going to happen, Ethan, was that it was going to be a low-scoring game, that Kurt Cignetti would not let this game get away from him. And that if they were to win the game, they were going to have to limit mistakes. And they absolutely, 100%, could not turn the ball over, which they did one time. And they also just had to control the line of scrimmage. And that's how they won the game. They got into the backfield. They beat Ohio State's offensive line. And once I saw that start to happen, it was like the Oregon game all over again. I mean, they were getting through the offensive line and getting into the backfield. And after Fernando, I'll tell you, the moment that I had some doubt was 9 seconds into the game. Fernando Mendoza gets absolutely blasted on the first play of the game. He's down. He gets hit right in the chest, and he's down for a while. And he said at that moment he could just lay there on the ground, or he could get up and fight for his teammates. He gets up. He comes back after one play. And when that happened, I think the offensive line pretty much decided, we're not going to let them touch this guy again. And that was the name of the game right there. Indiana's done it all year. They've done it for 2 years. Their line has been exceptional on both sides. And once that happened, you know, the skill players take care of the rest. Although the other blow was Omar Cooper, who might be their most talented player on either side of the ball, goes out the third play of the game. He's limping off. He's the one who made that insane catch against Penn State. He's done for the game. So they did all of that without Omar. And I expected it to be a tight game. I expected it to be low scoring, and it was that very thing. But still, to come away with the victory just felt like a dream. It actually felt like a dream walking in and out of Lucas Oil Stadium.
Do you have a ticket for the national championship game yet?
I will be acquiring a ticket, I believe, to the Rose Bowl, and we're going to go from there.
Yes.
The Rose Bowl, January 1st. But have I booked a flight to Miami just to have one? Yes, I have.
Oh, you're smart. That is amazing. That is. I'm so happy for you guys, just because I love this story of the Indiana Hoosiers. Now, you are hosting the Jack Buck Awards tonight, right? You're getting ready for that at the MAC.
I am, yeah. Yeah, and tonight's great. I mean, it's really a cool night. It's going to be live on KMOX at 8. The honorees are Jordan Bennington, John Rooney, Jim Hart, Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr., Matty DiMaria, who is the National Soccer Player of the Year, plays for Koryezu, And there are some other surprises in there as well. The presenters, I think people are going to absolutely love. We got a Hall of Famer. We got a legend introducing Jordan Bennington. It's going to be an awesome night. And it's just, you know, one of those special things. 56 awards. It was 1970 when Jack Buck decided to start this. And so such a great tradition. I'm ready to go. I'm going to head downtown here shortly, actually, and host it. And it's an honor to do so.
Hey, last year I was at the awards. I can't make it tonight. I had a conflict. But last year, Brady Cook was on that stage, and he just got into his first NFL game against the Jets. Now, he didn't play very well, but he got into the game yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah. And did you see Cody Schrader just got signed by the Houston Texans?
I didn't see that, but that's awesome, too. Look at that. All right, Tom, hey, thank you for sharing your joy and your agile. I mean, just watching Mendoza after the game and the smile on his face in that interview was so cool. So have fun with all this and have fun tonight at the Jack Buck Awards.
Thank you. I don't have an NFL team, but I've decided that my next NFL team will be whoever drafts Fernando Mendoza.
That's not a bad choice.
Although there you might be the number one.
My daughter said, Dad, what if the Rams do? Ooh. And I said, well, good luck, Fernando.
Yeah, it's not going to be the Rams. It's going to be the Raiders.
Yeah.
So you and I are going to Vegas next year. All right, see you, Tommy.
Right,
Take care.
Man.
Thank you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Yeah, the Golden Globe nominations came out today. The Critics' Choice nominations came out last week. We spoke with Paul Hall about that on Friday. I used to be a member of that organization. For many years, I would go to Hollywood and I'd do some what they call junkets, interviewing, you know, cast members, et cetera. And I aired those on Channel 4 on Great Day St. Louis. And then the pandemic hit, and then my daughter got a little older, and, you know, there are a lot of sports involved. So I don't go and do that as much. And I'm at peace with it. I still am a fan of seeing movies in the theaters. But I got to know a lot of people when I was going out to Hollywood. One of the guys that I got to know is a guy by the name of Mark Allen from Sacramento. And I follow him on Facebook, and I'm just tooling around Facebook, mainly just causing trouble on some stuff with some people about politics, which I should know better to do at this point. But Mark posted last week something that really caught my attention. It said, 10 years ago, where did time go? 10 years ago, I was found in the driver's seat of my parked car, more than twice the legal limit. I'm grateful every day that I hadn't hurt myself or anyone else because I easily could have, in and of itself, is a miracle. And the story kind of goes on from there, and it's fascinating. Now, as with many of you, I have addiction issues in my family. Look, I haven't had alcohol since 1990, November 2nd, 1990. And, you know, I think a lot of us, especially if you go back to the 80s, you'd say, I mean, I can't believe that I wasn't pulled over for a DUI or that I didn't hurt someone or hurt myself. And it was one of those, oh, but for the grace of God moments. And I got very lucky. And I guess Mark did as well. But he joins us tonight to share this story from Sacramento, California. Mark S. Allen, how are you?
An honor to catch up with you this way, sir.
It's been, you know, I was looking at the last damn junket I did in Hollywood was 2019, The Irishman. It's been that long, which is kind of hard to believe.
Yeah, what a great event. And, you know, we did a lot of interviews with a lot of famous Academy Award-winning members, and there was a huge party that night. And as you were saying that you got sober in 1990, I'm trying to think, wow, does he know the drunk me in L.A. or the sober me in L.A.? But that was a night where booze was free-flowing, and I wasn't drinking. I'm proud to say that among the last times we were together, I was the sober version.
Yeah, I think I saw the Mark Allen. I don't know if I saw, you know, wasted drunk, but I certainly saw you having some fun with some of the other critics. But then when I saw this post, I thought, you know, really, it resonates with a lot of people. I think you see someone like that who had something like that happen. But then I also find it interesting because you mention that the officer who arrested you that night is now a friend of yours, Mark.
Yeah, very quickly. I knew at that time that I didn't want to hide from this. And you and I have peers, and certainly we know people that are in the industry, movie stars and movie producers and the likes, that will quickly get some spin doctor to get behind it, brush it off, and make it less than it was. And I knew I wanted to do the opposite, to put it in front of me, just to be completely honest about it and maybe save some lives in doing so.
So what was happening back then? Can you kind of give us the background of the story that led to that night?
Yeah, thankfully, I've never been addicted to anything. I don't classify myself as an alcoholic, but certainly the parties were coming closer together. Mm-hmm. As you know, in Hollywood, wherever there's a party every night, every organization on any given night is having some big year-ender or some celebration. And if you're in a circle where you're going to a lot of those in a row, they just come too quickly, and often you start living for those. And that was just me. I was always looking forward to the next party. And I had just left a big holiday Christmas party, having had too much to drink, and went to an after party and had even more to drink. Mm-hmm. And got on the freeway, realized I was in no business to be driving, pulled off to try to get my phone charged to get a Lyft or an Uber, and was struggling trying to find the power cable, and then like an alien abduction, like that scene out of Close Encounters, my car was completely illuminated because there were 13 different flashlights shining in. And I knew my life was going to change forever at that time. And it did. I was arrested and publicized the event and talked very explicitly about what had happened and that I was going to do time and that my life was going to change. And called the arresting officer just short of a year later to say, look, I'm on the right path, I believe. Would you be interested in doing a live broadcast with me, actually riding along in the vehicle
right
in the area where I was arrested? And we did it, and it just became an annual tradition, and we got to know each other. It first started out just being an annual, you know, ride along where I would broadcast and talk about what happened that night, what he saw, how he discovered me. And then we started talking throughout the year, going to blood drives together and just trying to find lots of common good.
That's amazing. Now, did you, when you were punished for this, did you serve some jail time?
I did. I was to do 2 months and ended up doing just short of that. And also, it really was
the
best thing that could have happened to me, because had they just slapped me on the wrist and had I hired someone to bury it and try to evade some of the time, not do the full punishment, maybe I would have straightened up for a little while and then gone back to bad behavior quickly. And maybe I needed it.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah. And I understand that. That's amazing. Well, I think it's an incredible story. And, you know, a lot of us, what we say now, and I think you would agree with this, look, if you go back to the 80s, I'm not offering excuses, but we didn't have Ubers back then, right? So it's so easy. And you see these people that are in really high profile positions that get into trouble. And even in your situation, you salvaged, your career has been great. And you didn't lose your job, and you went on to produce a movie this past year, I think I saw as well. But that could have really taken a different turn at the time.
Oh, I could have killed myself, or worse, I could have killed other people. And it's almost a miracle that it didn't happen, as much as I had had that night. And yeah, you and I are just about on the dot to the exact same age. And back in the day when we were kids or first getting our license, you almost had to be you had to be unable to operate a vehicle to get a DUI back then. Often police would all put you in another car and just send you home. Arrests were fewer, and the blood alcohol content level was higher as a requirement. And I think we got away with a lot more and justified a lot more back then. So I think we're at a better place societally than we were then.
Mark, what have the encounters been when you've done this, you know, this campaign, and you've tried to get the message out about DUIs? I'm sure you've met some folks who have had family members maybe that have been taken from them, or, you know, terrible accidents, et cetera.
Oh, sure. And as much as I've befriended Alex, my arresting officer, I've gotten to know some people whose lives were changed forever because they lost someone near and dear to them.
Yeah.
Children, spouses, and you just go back to it. I'm a father. I don't want jerks out there driving around drunk, possibly killing my children. I know you were the same. And I was on the wrong side of that. And being on the wrong side of it doesn't mean you can't change that. In this case, I have an opportunity to do some good, so I'm at it.
I think it's awesome. I really do. And that's why I wanted to get you on the air. You and I haven't even spoken in several years, but when I saw that on Facebook.
It's wild, like I said, catching up with you this way.
And it's the way that time goes by so quickly. Since I do have you on the movie front, I mentioned your producing role. You had a movie that you put out this year, didn't you?
Yeah. And that's one thing. And my message to everyone out there, if you've got bad habits and you eliminate them, good things will come your way. And when I stopped living for the party and just started focusing more, having the ability to do that, a buddy of ours, someone you've probably interviewed before, Joe Carnahan, he's a famous movie producer, director.
I knew you were friends with him. Yeah. We've talked about Joe before. He's awesome.
Right. Buddy, do you want to start making movies instead of talking about them? And it started getting me thinking about that. He was working on Bad Boys 3 at the time, and I got a tiny little spot as an associate producer and kind of parlayed that. And yeah, a couple, 3 weeks ago now, my seventh major motion picture came out. It's called Don't Answer on Prime.
Congratulations on that. That's amazing. Are you still doing the critic work as well? Are you still going to Hollywood and doing the junkets, or is that something in your past?
Yeah. I remember year one gladly accepting you into the membership. Myself and some peers started that. I was one of 12 people in a tiny little room eating crappy sandwiches talking about movies. And we brought you in at the height of the membership, 500 plus strong.
And I was honored. Going. I was honored at the time. And, you know, I got to know Rod Lurie, who was one of the guys that organized or came up with the organization. I think we lost Jim Ferguson. He was one of the legends. Didn't he pass away recently?
Yeah, such a good guy. He was in the room too. So it was you know, Joey Perlin, the president, Rod Lurie, Jim Ferguson, and the rest of them.
You know, one of the last things I told Joey Perlin, who runs the organization, and I don't think I had anything to do with this, but I said, I sent some positives, I sent some criticisms, and I said, man, I wish that we would go back to the way we used to do it, which was the Critics' Choice Awards come out before the Golden Globes, because I don't like the way that the Globes might influence the Critics' Choice. And last week, the awards came out before the Golden Globes. I think that's a wise move into the future for Critics' Choice. I just like it better. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I always thought that was our strong suit, because how are we ever going to catch up or surpass the Golden Globes if we're not first out of the gate? And for a while, we were, and that's when we saw the biggest momentum. And this year, we're back to it. And yeah, thanks for putting that in there. You were heard.
Yeah, maybe I was. Mark, great story. Thank you for joining me. I hope all is well, and congratulations with all the success.
Hey, you're a great human being. I miss you in person. Weird to catch up with you this way, but so joyful just to get the message out.
There's maybe like 10 people that might remember me. Tell them I said hi. I miss them.
Not true. Not true. I'll spread the word, and happy holidays to you and your wonderful listeners.
You too, Mark Allen. Thank you very much. That's awesome. Yeah, we go. Look, I think I started doing those in about 2008, 2009, and I was in Milwaukee at the time, and Paul Hall, who's my critic here on the station now, Paul was in the Broadcast Film Critics Association is what it was called, and I came to Camo X, and I'm like, hey, I think I belong in this organization. I've been reviewing films since 1987 or so, and they accepted me. I had a lot of fun doing interviews. I would go out there for the awards show in January. I'd do live broadcasts broadcast back to Channel 4, but finally life caught up with me just a little bit, and I'm still a fan of movies and still a fan of seeing movies in the theaters, but just couldn't do it with the time anymore. And again, you know, I think the Hollywood studios backed off. Mark's in a bigger market. They decided Zoom calls were quite, you know, financially efficient, so some of the small markets got cut out of that. I have an audio cut of the day coming up next. I have an audio cut of the day here in a couple of minutes, but a little audio to fill with before that that I did not get in earlier on the show. I do not know who Annika Sparian is. Maybe I should know her. She's described as a political commentator, media host. She is the producer of an online show called The Young Turks. But the reason I bring her up is she was on with Bill Maher on his podcast, Club Random. This is the one where he sits around. I think he smokes weed with the guests. It's quite entertaining. It was released today, and it was interesting because on the one hand, and I don't have this audio, on the one hand, I think it's being reported that Kasparian sort of shocked Bill Maher because she's a progressive and she kind of agreed with him on the issue of men in women's locker rooms, admitting that she had bought the cover story on some of the controversial incidents, but then she realized she was wrong. But this is a little exchange that they had on Western values and women's rights in the Middle East. And Anna Kasparian, despite not knowing who she is, I can tell you that she's quite an attractive woman, and she was wearing a white dress that was relatively revealing. There is a reason for me telling you this, because it comes up in the audio, because Bill Maher's trying to say, look, you're you know, sticking up for all these folks in the Middle East. You realize if you were dropped into the Middle East in this dress, they'd behead you.
If you had to live in the Middle East, so tomorrow, Anna, you got to go live in the Middle East, where would you live? You can pick one city, any city. You can, you know, as far away as, say, Pakistan. You could live in Karachi. You could live in Cairo. You could live in Amman, Jordan. You seem to love Lebanon. I mean, Beirut's nice when the bombing's not happening and the assassinations have stopped. Mm-hmm. Or you could live in Syria. I hear that's wonderful in the summer.
Al-Qaeda terrorist leading Syria.
Or the Houthis, I'm sure, would make room for you.
Yeah.
Tel Aviv. Or the West Bank, Ramallah. I think is a wonderful for a little bit. In the fall, it gets lovely. Where would you live? What city would you live in?
Where do you think
you'd be comfortable in that dress?
I'm sure it would not be comfortable in this dress in any of the various Middle Eastern countries that have been destabilized by
You're not really blaming it on whitey.
She is. She's trying to blame the United States.
You're blaming Islam on whitey?
I'm not blaming Islam on whitey.
But what you're saying is still, we destabilized, that's why you can't wear that dress?
Did we not destabilize?
Wait a second.
Terrorist organizations in Syria during the Syrian Civil War.
Regardless, and I think Bill's going to make this point, regardless of whether any of that is true, does not take away from the fact that Islam and Muslim fundamentals do not get changed based on whatever the United States or other Western countries might do. This has been in place for a long time, Sharia law.
Under the Obama administration.
Did that not destabilize Syria? No, what's destabilized?
Al-Qaeda terrorist.
We're talking about your
leader.
Dress. Oh, why?
It looks good. I know it looks
why
good.
Why? You're saying you can't wear that dress in Syria because of whitey destabilizing?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
She kind of did, though. I mean, she says, Bill, you're putting words in my mouth, but you understand what he's doing here. He's making the point.
Words in my mouth. Okay, great.
But the United States did destabilize various countries. Are you going to deny that? I went asked about the dress, and you went right to destabilize. So is that why you couldn't wear that dress? Why couldn't you wear that dress?
Why won't you? I mean, I don't believe in jihadism, which is why I'm furious the United States just had a freaking Al-Qaeda terrorist in the White House. It's not just jihadism
that is preventing you from wearing that dress. Are you saying every Muslim is a jihad? I don't think they are. Bill. Okay, why can't you wear that dress? Let's focus for a second. No, you won't answer this question.
Yeah, she won't answer the question. Well, because she'd be killed if she wore that dress. She couldn't wear that dress in the Middle East. And she's defending all these Middle East countries, and he's trying to flip it around on her, and I think he did quite a good job flipping it around on her. That podcast is rather interesting. You know, he's got the show that airs on Max, but this is a little different where it's a more relaxed climate, and I do believe that marijuana is in the air when Bill sits down with many of his guests. Some choose to partake and some do not. But I thought that was a pretty good conversation. Let's do this, though.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, you know, We spent a fair amount of time talking with Tom Ackerman a short time ago about the college football playoff in Indiana and everything that's going on with that. And Coach Drinkwitz is heading to the Gator Bowl with the University of Missouri Tigers against Virginia. Didn't make it to the CFP, four losses in a very tough conference. But he was asked about some of these decisions. And, you know, one of the things that he's saying, well, I think a lot of what he's saying right here is right on target, because if you're going to make it all about the CFP, well, then these bowls aren't going to mean anything. I mean, to a certain extent, the bowls didn't mean anything in the end anyway, but you're proud to get there, to get your team to a bowl, and you get excited, you get 15 more practices, and the kids get to play a little bit more, and it's also a fun time. Now, you'll hear in the first soundbite here, Drink kind of takes a swipe at Notre Dame. You'll hear it.
People say anytime, anywhere. I guess some people mean it, some people don't. So, you know, for us right now, we got an opportunity to go play in a bowl game. I'm fired up about the opportunity. You know, everybody's different. Everybody's seasons are totally different. You know, our goals got changed, you know, when our quarterback got dinged up and injured. And so for us, this is a heck of an opportunity. I think bowl games are really determined by two things. One, the location. What an awesome location to get to play in Jacksonville, Florida at an NFL stadium. Have a great experience in Jacksonville. And then the second one is the opponent that you get. I mean, what an awesome thing to get to play the ACC regular season champ. Get to play Virginia. I know it didn't end the way they want to, but that's a quality team.
All right, so he's doing what he needs to do there, and not that he's insincere. I think he's very sincere, but one of the things I like about Eli Drinkwitz is he's not afraid to share some of the tough medicine also, and this is very important what he says in the aftermath of those comments.
I don't like this playoff or bust mentality. I think it's bad for college football. I think it's bad for the sport. I think the playoffs are awesome. I don't think it's nearly inclusive enough. And then I'll just say this, since we're already on this whole thing. You know, just because viewership is up in college football does not mean that college football is healthy. It does not mean that college sports is healthy. It means that viewership is up, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But for us to maintain the success that college sports are having, we've got to look at it, man. Like, there's no way I think that anybody could think that this calendar is healthy. I don't think there's any way that they can think that this is healthy for the student athlete to constantly be transferring and not getting progress towards degree. To leave college athletics without a degree is really bad for the student athlete. I think it's bad for coaches. And we've got to figure all this out, because, again, just because viewership is up doesn't mean the sport is healthy.
Okay, can I ask a question? Raise your hand if you're driving, be careful. Have you heard anyone talk about those topics on ESPN or some of the other sports shows? Now, I don't listen to sports talk radio. Maybe they're addressing it there. But those are important issues that need to be handled by universities across the country. He talks about the calendar. You know, you have a situation in the NFL where these guys have to be granted permission to talk. And a lot of times, you know, interviews might be granted, but decisions on your next gig are going to happen after the season ends for a team. Now, the season is going to end for some of these teams in 3 weeks. Some of these teams are going to go into the playoffs. Ben Johnson's a good example of that, going from the Lions to the Bears last week. But in college football, you have the Lane Kiffin situation where the season's not over and your team is going to play in the college football playoff, Ole Miss, but you still take the job at LSU. And a lot of that is because of the calendar, and the way that these kids jump around into the portal is because of the calendar as well. And what they'll tell you is, well, we got to get started now, because if we wait until January, all these recruits are gone, so you got to get your coaching place at that very moment. And there's probably truth to that. But I think Coach Drinkwitz is right. It's the Wild West. It's been the Wild West. It's changing a little bit. Some of the rules have changed, but not enough. And then where is the discussion in any way, shape, or form on what he addressed with academics? You know, you go to college to get a degree. What's the percentage of these kids? They're getting paid sometimes more than NFL players, even sometimes more than they would make in the NFL. What's happening with degrees, with actual education? I think that might be a bit of a rhetorical question, unfortunately.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.